10th canto of Gobi Gita, chapter 31, verse 8. We're reading about the translation of Gobi Eastern Separation. They're crying out, these verses are actually crying, and crying Sankirtan. They said it's, they get together and they chant in Sankirtan on the banks of Yamuna. So they're crying in separation from Krishna. And they're crying and meditating on his form, Rup Dhyan, they're meditating on his face, and specifically on his mouth, his sweet words, charming words, heart-captivating words, his lotus eyes, and the nectar of his lips. There's everything there going on with the face and the mouth. So the translation by BBT, say, O Pushkar Ekshana, remember IKSH, these eyes. Pushkar. Pushkar is an interesting word. What does the word pushpa mean? What does kar mean?
Hand.
So pushkar means?
Hand of flower.
Lotus, holding a lotus in your hand. Pushkar.
It's too hot, yes, never mind. It's iPhone. Why is working?
It's too hot for iPhone.
iPhone is too hot. It's through the temperature, it's too hot.
Me? Well, she, it's your phone.
Your phone. iPhone is very sensitive.
Oh, go out of the room. Temperature will come down. Go. You're making my temperature go. No, I don't think it's that exactly. Oh, that's cute. Yeah, it's nice.
Temperature.
Wowee.
It needs to cool down before you can use it.
Maybe inside.
Yeah. So what do we do?
Inside the house.
It's too much to set up all this stuff.
Yeah, it's too much.
So what do we
try
do?
To cool down and then come back.
Yeah.
It's your fault. So
what? We try from my phone.
You're a Shama woman, so you're calling Sarah in winter. So your phone is a Shama phone. Krishna's hot all the time. Go into Jai Jai, go Jai Jai. Chapter 31, verse 8, the Gopis are glorifying Krishna's beautiful face on lips and eyes and crying for his darshan. So they're saying, O lotus-eyed one Pushkar Ekshana, your sweet voice and charming words attract the minds of the intelligent. Are bewildering us more and more. Oh Vera, oh dear hero, please revive your maidservants with the nectar of your lips. Adara Sidhu. So Prabhupada's translation. Oh Bhagavan, your attractive eyes, like the lotus, are so nice and pleasing. Your sweet words are fascinating. They please even the greatest scholars who also become attracted to you. We are also attracted to you by speaking and by the beauty of your face and eyes. Please satisfy us by your nectarine kisses. and see what the Gita Press translation is for verse number 8, for verse number 8. We pray you to revive us with the nectar of your lips, O Valiant One. We ourselves are ready to do your bidding, and we are getting charmed, O Bhagavan, with lotus eyes. Your melodious speech, full of delightful expressions, is pleasing even to the learned. That's nice. There's the Kavi Karmapur translated this verse also. Let's see what he said. Kavi Karmapur. Yes, chapter 19 is called Gopi Gita. He has an introduction to Gopi Gita. He said, the hearts of all the birds and beasts in Vrindavan burned when they heard the gopis' sweet, gentle voices crying in grief. The weeping of the gopis as they glorified the good qualities of Krishna sounded like a graceful song to attract the hearts of all moving and non-moving beings. The sound of the gopi's soft crying distilled the essence of love and separation. Sympathizing with their sorrow, the musical notes, rhythms, and modulations personified entered their hearts to produce their songs. Well, that's pretty wild. That's his introduction. I didn't read his translation before. I didn't make it. I didn't realize it. So this is number 8. Kavi Karmapur's translation from Ananda Vrindavan Champu. O Bhagavan, O Ishwar of our lives, your sweet voice and charming words have soothed our ears and enthralled our minds. Since we have worshipped you for a long time, please pour the nectar of your words into our hungry ears once again. O Beloved, your face is washed by the nectar of your sweet smile. Without seeing you, we are drying up with grief. Please return and revive us with the nectar of your sweet red lips. Sweet red lips. That's really nice. Let's, Jiva Goswami has some commentary. First we'll read Sri Goswami's commentary. Then, Sri Goswami Charan. He doesn't say much. He basically retranslates the verse. O Lotus Eyed One, please restore to life your maidservants. The verse says, line 3, you can see in your book, Vidhi Karir. Karir means like karma, means to work or to do. Vidhi means to do rules. Like we say, Vidhi Sadhana. Vidhi means rules. So one is doing, following rules, which is translated as maidservants. So, he's just saying that. He says, we're your maidservants, we're becoming bewildered by remembering your sweet voice. Your charming words are very attractive and very grave. Very grave. Krishna's words in Gita are grave. Krishna's words in Rasa are full of attraction and cupid. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The gopis are worried that there's no remedy for the bewilderment caused by Krishna's sweet voice and charming words. Raja gopis are praying for the medicine of the nectar of Krishna's lips. to drink along with the external message, external medicine of Krishna's physical association. So they're dying in separation, so they need the medicine and physical therapy. The medicine is Krishna's kisses, and the physical therapy is loving embraces. So 2 days a week I get therapy from my physical therapist, who's unfortunately a male. Dr. Sharma. Bad luck there, but that's why it's taking so long to get cured. Change therapist. Probably charge more fees. Out of my budget. So let's see. So they're praying for two kinds of medicines, physical therapy and some drink. Adara Sidhu. Sidhu means nectar drink. Adara means live nectar, which is another way of saying kisses, kisses, smooches. Chumita. Chumita means kisses in Hindi, chumita. It's finding another word for magnet, you know magnet? You know, to get the magnet, the Hindi word for magnet is chumba. And the word for kiss is chumba. So your north pole comes together with my south pole. It's called magnetic attraction. They get stuck. So that's called, the gopis call that medicine. So if somebody asks what you're doing, say, take my medicine. It's okay if you're married, but if you're not, I don't recommend that medicine. Right? Otherwise, you'll be taking another disease called marriage. If you take that medicine unauthorized, you get a disease. Okay. Hope everyone's confused and doesn't know what's going on. It's better that you don't. Okay. Revive us with the nectar of your lips, otherwise we'll die soon. Why? Just by remembering your words, Krishna, we faint and almost die. We're remembering what are gopis remembering? They're remembering words that Krishna said at the beginning of the Rasadanta. Swagatam, swagatam, gopiyam. Oh, Bhagya Sri, oh, fortunate ladies, please sit down. Make yourself comfortable. What can I do for you? Why did you come? Do you come to see the flowers blooming at night? Do you come to see the moon? Why are you here? Is there some trouble in Vrindavan? Oh Radha, Krishna says, whether you are harsh or gentle to me, you're my very life. Just as the Chakora bird takes shelter of the crescent moon. This is from Vidagdha Mata. So the gopis are remembering Krishna speaking. So Radharani specifically is remembering a verse from Vidagdha Mata. When Krishna compared her to a full moon and himself to a Chakora bird. There's three qualities for Krishna's words, his speech. Because it says, what is his speech? His speech is madurai gira, sweet speech, vagovak. Vagovak means charming words. Krishna's words are charming to every living being, because they are tender with praying, sweet with proper syllables and correct intonation, and are attractive, filled with longing, qualification, attachment, and beauty. That's quite a lot of description of the qualities of his speech, because they're saying it's madhurya and vagu. So why is it sweet? Why is it vagu? Vagu means charming. Vagu. Krishna's words are attractive to the intelligent because they give great joy by the depth of their meaning. Their alankar, which is a Sanskrit term, the ornamental language, their bhava, emotions, rasa, and the essence, which is expressed through direct and indirect meanings. How can I give something? So Krishna says to the gopis, how can I give you something that cannot be given? Because they're asking for a nectar of his lips. He says, I can't do that. I can't give that. So then they try to butter him up, you know, they try to flatter him. He said, you're a Veera. So Jiva Goswami takes the Veera. There's different kinds of Veera. How many kinds of Veera are there? You ever read Nectar of the Ocean? Dharmavir, Dhanavir, Yudavir, what does it mean? Hero of following religious principles, Dharmavir. And Dhanavir, what does it mean? Bill Gates. He's a rich guy, he gets charity. Dhanavir, Dhan means charity, Dhanavir, Vir, powerful guy, gives a lot of charity. And Yudavir means what? Heroic fighter, Yuda means fighting. Yuda steer, fixed in fighting, steer, stand, steer, he's fixed. Nobody can move him. What does Duryodhan mean? Yuda means what? Fighting. So Yudhisthira means fixed in fighting. You can't shake him, you can't move him. What does Duryodhan mean?
There are two meanings for that. One is he is cunning in fighting, and the other one is it's very difficult to defeat.
He's a dirty fighter. Duryodhan means clever, cheater fighter. And Dura means difficult to defeat him. Like you say he's a guy, that's the one thing. Or you say he's a tough guy, what does it mean? A guy is a guy, maybe you can beat him up. But he's a tough guy, may have a hard time beating him up because he's tough. Any old guy can knock him out, but tough guy, watch out. So he's Duryodhan. So the gopis are saying, you're Veer, you're Dayavir. Means you're Dayavir means you're strong in compassion. They're saying, oh Veera, look at line 3 of verse 8. Oh Veera, that doesn't mean you're a big, big, strong guy, you know, because he's not. They Radharani beat him up in wrestling in Bandiravan. Radharani and Krishna had a wrestling match in Bandiravan. Who won? Radharani ki jai. This is described in Bhakti Ratnakara by Narayana Chakravarti, chapter 5. And it's told by the Pandavas when they go to Bandiravan. Bandiravan, the Sakyas always used to wrestle there. So one time Krishna met the gopis, and the leader said, we heard it, you wrestled there with Subal and he beat you bad. Who told you that? Your brother. Balaram said, Subal, I'll beat you up in this flary place. And Krishna said, don't you know there's a rule in the village? Krishna said to Lita, in the village there's a rule, the older brother always lies.
Oh, man.
Well, he just said, that's not true. Because Radharani's older brother is Sridham. He never lies. Oh, the only liar we know in Braj is you. You're Jute Bolo Bhagavan. You're Jute Bhagavan. You're the Lord of Lies. So they say, you're Dayavir. You're merciful and you're Dhanavir, you're generous. So be merciful and give us your lips. And be generous and give us a kiss. Truce. So when Krishna speaks, he has beautiful, playful glances, Pushkarekshana, which increase the attraction of his words. Yeah, some people when they speak, their eyes go different ways, you know. And when their eyes go this way, that way, your heart goes flip-flop. Especially if a man is talking to an interested woman. Very dangerous for heart, people heart condition. So they say, Krishna, your conversations with are attractive with skillful verses and wordplay. Your words cause rasas, which are full of nectar, and cause the wide eyes of the gopis to quiver, become restless, which increase constantly because of the playfulness of youth. And your words cause our hearts to tremble. That's a verse from Krishna Karmita. Krishna says, we have become bewildered by your words. Our discrimination has disappeared, and now we have become your vidikari. Vidikari means we have become your servants. Or, because of your words, we have become your servants. But because of the pain of separation, we have fainted. So the gopis try to understand this mood of the gopis. What kind of intensity of love they're feeling. Let's see what other commentaries we have in this verse. They were like making a little joke, but it's actually the deepest expression of love. A little hard to grasp, but it's so deep and so transcendental. Prior to verse number 8, the gopis have praised the sweetness of Krishna's eyes, his feet, his hands, and now they're praising Krishna's words, voice, and lips. The sweetness of Krishna's words enchants the maidens, and only the intoxicating medicine of Krishna's lips will revive them from their delirium. Yet the gopis are finding it difficult to attain Krishna's intoxicating lips because their elders and family members try to keep them home. The implication is here, but now we're here, so where are you? In other words, we're dying your separation and the medicine is your lips, and where are you? You called us here, we saw you for a few minutes, they disappeared. Now we can't. We searched for you. We couldn't find you. We asked everyone where you were. No one told us where you were. Now we came to the banks of Yamuna. We're crying under the moonlight. Where are you? That's all this verse says. There's more in this other book here. There's a lot of books here. It's great. Shiva Goswami's commentary is quite nice. They're talking about Krishna's words. The wise people, the wise rishis, they delight in the philosophical meanings of Krishna's speech. Regular materialistic people are bewildered by Krishna's words. So what is the position of the gopis? Are they like fallen souls who find Krishna's speech bewildering? No. The gopis are bewildered, but a different kind of bewilderment. Even the devis and devas, devatas and devis and higher planets cannot understand Krishna's speech. The gopis' attraction for Krishna's charming words, they're not considering the philosophy, because they are transcended all knowledge and all philosophy, because they live on the highest plane of pure love. Because beyond karma, beyond gyan, is love. So the gopis are existing purely on the plane of love. So Krishna's words and philosophy and teaching are bewildering them mentally or intellectually, because they're way beyond that type of bewilderment. But they're bewildered in separation due to their intense love for Krishna. And they know that Krishna is not happy without them. To really understand Krishna's teachings and to know Krishna means to love Krishna. This is footnote number 42, which is from where? I'm curious. Oh, it's from Bhagavad Gita. To know Krishna in truth means to love him. 1854-55. That's Bhaktya Tananya. 55 is. Yeah, 54 is Brahma Bhuta Prasnam and the Sarsi. And 55 is Bhaktya Mama Vijayanti Yamanya Sarsi Tavata. That bhakti, to know Krishna, is love. So that's why he said. To know Krishna in truth is to love him. Then he quotes Bhagavad Gita, 1854-55. Look it up. 54-55. It is Brahma Bhuta and Bhakti Mama Avijananti. The love of the gopis causes the absolute truth to appear to them, not as God, but as their lover. Yeah.
55.
Brahmaputra Prasanatma is 54. Yeah. Tell it out loud. 1854. So the gopis don't delight. They know Krishna in truth. To know Krishna in truth is to love him. And these two verses explain that. 1854 Gita and 1855. Go, Bola, translate. Bola.
Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana
Sho Chatina Kangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Lavate Param.
Once situated in transcendental Brahman realization becomes mentally serene, neither grieving nor desiring. Being equitably disposed towards all living beings, such a yogi attains supreme devotion unto me. 1855.
Bhakti Mama
Bhijanati Yavasvitasvata
Tatomam
Tadvatam. Only by loving devotion to me does one come to know who I am in truth. Then, having come to know me, my devotee enters into fully consciousness of me.
Goes to Krishna. Okay. So, read Vishnu's commentary out loud.
Krishna said, O gopis, who are more dear to me than my own life, O jewel-like lovers, I can never be indifferent to you, who are my only reason for living. why do you not have faith in this servant who is bound by the golden chains of your pure love? Please trust me and understand me to be like the brilliant gold bangles on your auspicious hands. Hearing such words from Krishna, other gopis said, we have become overcome with bliss on tasting the sweetness of your words, which are composed of sweet syllables containing various meanings in each beautiful phrase. Moreover, your beautiful words bewilder those who are intelligent.
Wonderful words.
Your wonderful words bewilder those who are intelligent and expert in conjugal affairs, namely these maidservants of yours. We gopis are becoming bewitched by continually relishing your sweetness. Please rejuvenate us bewildered women by letting us again drink the nectar of your lips. Another meaning. Please let us bewildered women drink the nectar of your lips and again put us into bewilderment.
Bewildered, more bewildered, most bewildered. So this is a beautiful, very beautiful verse to meditate on. Krishna's sweet words, lotus eyes, tricky speech, clever speech, sweet love words. They're becoming bewildered gopis, the nectar of his lips. How do we taste the nectar of Krishna's lips?
Mahaprasad.
What's it called? Smart cookie here. Krishna fail. That's the Bengali for CC. It's really showing off. Okay, great deal. But according to the verse, it's called Adara Amrita. What does Bimbadara mean? What color is bimba fruit?
Red.
It is translated cherry lips. Cherry red lips. Without lipstick. That's very red. Oh, they also use lipstick also. Right? She got all into that. How to make lipstick and everything. She was asking how to make lipstick. So I tell her. So it's a very nice verse to meditate on the Rup, Madhurya Rupa of Krishna, because there's four things that distinguish Krishna from other forms of Bhagavan. What are they? Tell us in English. English. Sweet love.
Sweet play.
Sweet form. Sweet flute song. Venu Madhurya. Rupa Madhurya, sweet form. Shivanga.
Sweet pastime and sweet love.
Sweet love and sweet leela, sweet pastime. So all that sweetness, why aren't you smiling? Usually when you eat sweets and ice cream, you smile. You ever see you look at ice cream? Yeah. You know, you eat sweets, you smile. Eat Kerala, maybe you don't smile. Eat red chili or green chili, maybe you don't smile. But sweet, surely. Sweet and smile is like the same. Sweet and smile. Sweet, sweet. So it's nice verse. Now we do text number 9. I'll say, you say. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam
Kaviriditam Kamashapam Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Granati Bhuri Dajana Sablagvalo.
Tavakatam Ritam Tatra Jivanam Kaviriditam Kamashapam Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Granati Bhuri Dajana.
So, you couldn't just tell me in your own language what does the first line mean?
Tava means yours.
Yeah.
Katha means, Katha means your story.
Talks, words.
Words.
Katha. Stories, nectar stories. Like tapasya. Guys, like today. we're tough to jiva all today. We're hot jiva, we're all hot jiva. Apple phone quit because of the heat. My phone also quit because of the heat. To have these burning up in the material world. So very good. Well, who's the Brindrika, who's the Kavi?
Kavi poetry.
What?
Poetry.
Who's Krishna's Kaviraj?
Poet.
Yeah. Means speech, words, description. So that's what kavis do, they play around with words. Kamasha means what? It's a very important word, especially in Kali Yuga.
Since that things.
It means dirt, basically. It means dirty thoughts, sin, kamas. Show me some verse about kamas. Iti sodashakam nam nam. There's so many verses that talk about the holy name. It said Kali Kamasa Nashana. Nashana, what does Nash mean?
Destroy.
Sarva Nashan. Destroy. Nash means destroy. Dashoga. Vigna means bad qualities or bad things. Vigna. We say Nishimaran, Sarva Vigna Vinashan, Ganapati Bhagavan, Vigna Vinashan. So, Kamasanasana means destroy all the dirt. The holy name destroys all the kamas. Apa means sins and dirt. Now, avaha means to take away, actually. Kamasha avaha means drives away sin. Drives away dirt. Avaha. So what drives away dirt? Yeah. There's so many verses in Gita which you should read every day.
Yes.
Which talk about the power of transcendental wisdom which destroys sins. So that's what Diksha gives, gives mantras, and gives wisdom which destroys sin. That's the definition of Diksha. So this katha, which is spoken by poetical people, is nectar to the ears, and its nectar pours out the fire of material life and destroys all kaam, krodha, lobha, moha, matsarya, sabchordi. And Shravana Mangalam Srimadatatam Gopal, what does that mean?
It's very pleasing to the hearing, ears. Shravana Mangalam, it's auspicious. And
It's very auspicious.
And it gives auspicious Srimad fortune. It brings fortune to the one who hears.
Yeah, Srimad means many things. Means many things. That's the way it translates fortune. Usually it translates as beauty, beauty, power. Like Lakshmi, Sri, beauty, power, Srimad. So they're beneficial, they're auspicious to your Harikatha, and it's powerful because it destroys sins. Bhuvanti Grinanti Bhuri Jadajana. Jana means persons. Vurida means the gifts. Grinanti means chanting. Bhuvi means bhumi. Bhuvi means bhumi. Bhumi means what?
Earth.
Atatam means broadcast. Atatam, that's the new word. Atatam. So translation.
The nectar of your words and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly, those who spread the message of Godhead are most munificent.
These are good guys. Good guys speak Harikatha. Prabhupada's translation. Hey Bhagavan, words spoken by you or words describing your activities are full of nectar. Katamrita. Simply by speaking or hearing your words, one can be saved from the blazing fire of material existence. Great devatas like Brahma and Shiva are always engaged in chanting the glories of your words. They do so to eradicate the sinful activities of all living entities in the material world. If one simply tries to hear your transcendental words, one can be quickly elevated to the spiritual platform. For Vaishnavas, your words give transcendental pleasure, and saintly persons who distribute your message all over the world are first-class charitable persons. Good guys. You look like a forest goddess, Vrinda Devi, Vrindarika, in charge of the springtime forest. Go dance through the lilies. On your tiptoes, with your pink slippers. There's another translation. Munificent are those men. It can be women also, but it's only men here. Who extensively recite on earth your nectar-like story, which is life-giving to the afflicted, has been celebrated by the wise and eradicates all sins, which is auspicious to hear and most soothing too. That's a cute old-fashioned English translation. That's here Kavi Karanpura's translation. It seems, Gopi said, it seems, however, by taking the medicine that the devotees use to counteract the severe pain of separation, our disease has become twice as bad. In other words, the medicine is talking about you. So we've been talking about you for 8 verses, and we're still separated from you, we're still feeling bad. So we're taking the medicine of Harikatha, and we're still dying in separation. Every day we gopis remember our previous conversation with you. The words spoken by you are supposed to destroy all sin. They are the elixir of life. They are the object of praise by the best of poets and the savior of persons suffering from the threefold miseries. But in our case, your words pain our ears. They increase our sorrow and suffering, and your words act slowly to kill us. When we become attracted to you, your words bring happiness and distress. Are your words nectar or poison? Thus we can understand anything about your words. Krishna replies, you criticize, but yet you enjoy. If I am such a person, then how can you enjoy? Gaurisha replied, your pastimes and speech are nectar. Oh, this verse 10. Don't get ahead of the game, kids. Chris continues verse 10. Okay, what was that? That was verse 9. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Krishna says, why are you still living? They say, this is the glories of talking about you. Because we're talking about you, we can't die. Because it talks about your amrita. Amrita means, what does it mean? That's exactly what I was thinking. That answer won. Thank you. You're really like read my mind. So psychic lady. Women's intuition. She went inside there. Amrita. So if you're taking amrita, you can't die. So as they said, it's Krishna, why do you die? It's separation. Ah, well, because we're talking about you. You're talking about amrita, katamrita. The topics about you give life to the suffering. They remove the pain of separation from you. They protect one even from death. Krishna replies, okay, until I agree, just pass your time speaking about me. Until I agree to appear before you, so just keep talking about me. That is really cruel, huh? He's really taking a Bhamya Bhav position, playing hard to get. Usually the girls play hard to get, the guys go crazy. Now Krishna's playing hard to get, and the girls are going crazy. That's what's going on. And Kaugobi's reply, your topics are our death. Kata, it's not kata amrita, it's kata mritam. As it says, look at the verse, look at number 8, it says kata amritam, it can be kata mritam. Ta means your talks are death. Because Krishna said, keep talking about me, you'll stay alive. He said, no, your talk is katam ritam. Your talk will kill us. Gopis are too slow. You know, if you get in a verbal fight with a woman, who's going to win? You better just quit. That's why usually men slap the women around. Keep them from talking. When they talk, they can talk their way out of anything. Talk around anything, talk over anything, talk through anything. That's a special gift. Fork tongue. They can talk Jute or Satya, Jute, Satya, Jute, Satya. You say day, they say night. You say night, they say day. You say clear sky, they say cloudy. You say good, they say bad. You say you want to go on a trip, they say no, we just went last month. This is how it goes on. It's a lifetime chess match. You move your pawns, she moves her pawns, and nobody wins the game. You just take both die, change positions, and start the game again. Husband becomes a wife, wife becomes a husband, and they start playing again. Moving your pawns one block by one block by one block. Chess game of life. Checkmate! Okay, here we go. Your atomics are destroying us. They give pain into our lives. They're like adding water to boiling oil. How do you put out a fire on your stove? If your mustard oil catches on fire in your tawa and your plate, how do you put it out? Cooker man, if you have some oil, you're cooking some porridge, and the oil catches on fire, how do you put out the fire? You cry, go in there, go in there. Go in there, go fall, go in there, go fall, go in there, go fall, go in there, go fall. What'd she say?
She's saying put a cloth over it.
That's right. Or put a lid on it. Smother it. No oxygen, no fire. Or put a wool blanket over it. Or throw a bag of flour on it. Sometimes the flour can catch fire also. You know, flour, you know, you throw the flour hits the flames, it gets on fire. Sand. Hey, is this practical? Then you should know. You're strong, you don't cook. She has mother curry. We have heard the topics about you, Krishna, are auspicious. Mangalam, Shravana Mangalam, but we have not experienced that. Those topics about you are spread by persons who are proud because of their beauty, Srimad, who are disrespectful to the devotees. Those who speak topics about you are great destroyers of life, Burida. The verb do means to destroy. These topics give intense pain. So what's the use of topics about you to us who desire to live a moment with hopes that you bless, that you will bless us? So, as Jiva Goswami gave an opposite meaning to the verse. Very interesting take on it. Okay, read the commentary by... Wait a minute, I didn't read this one. I have so many books to read, I can't keep track of them. I don't think I read Sriraswami. Sriraswami's commentary on verse number 9 is, furthermore, we have died because of separation from you. We have been cheated our life-giving nectar of your topics by the pious souls who have drunk it. Topics about your karma shapam, which means that they eradicate material desires and material work. Moreover, Srimad, very pacifying, but other nectar is intoxicating. The persons on earth who describe nectar about you is very widely broadcast. They give life. Okay, I mean, that's not much by sheer sign. He doesn't give so much interesting thing. Let's see what we have here. This last line we have the word Burida. means the person who gives the greatest riches. Da means donation to give. Buri means great riches. Like emerald rings and stuff. Diamonds, rubies. Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Skaviraj explains how the king of Orissa, what was his name? Prataparudra. He wanted to please Lord Chaitanya. So during Rath Yatra, the cart stopped to rest or whatever. And Chaitanya entered a garden and went to rest under a tree. While he was resting, King Prataparudra, dressed as an ordinary Vaishnava, entered the garden and started rubbing, massaging Lord Chaitanya's legs because he was tired from dancing. And he started reciting verses from Rasleela, Gopi Geet. So when he got to this verse number 9, Tavakatam Ritam, Tapta Jeevanam, and Lord Chaitanya heard it, he woke up and felt so happy, he embraced the king. He didn't realize it was the king until later. And when he woke up and he heard the verse, he said, speak more, speak more. So the king spoke the whole Gopi Gita. So the Gopi Gita was first spoken to Lord Chaitanya by King Prataparudra. So it pleased the heart of Krishna. It was in Radha Bhava. So Radharani is very pleased by chanting Gopi Gita. That's why many devotees take a vow during Kartik to please Radharani by chanting Gopi Gita every day. I know Gopika and her daughter Brinda, they have it memorized and they chant every Kartik, Gopi Gita together, mother and daughter. Very sweet thing. They do many pujas together, they chant many astakans together. Bhajan team, mother and daughter. So, let's see what other commentary I have here. This is a very famous verse number 9. Verse number 9 translation, nice translation. The immortal beverage of your words and the narration of your activities are the very life of those who suffer in material existence. Such narrations, distributed by poetic sages, eradicate one's karma and bestow auspiciousness upon those who hear them. These narrations are most beautiful, Srimad, and being endowed with spiritual power, they flood the world. Those who recite them are the most charitable of all. The Gaudiya's idea of what it means to be Krishna's devotee is instructive. The Gopis are informing us the very measure, the extent of their devotion. In their mood, Sri Chaitanya, in the mood of Gopis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, I don't have even a cent of love for Krishna. If I had love for Krishna, how could I continue to live in the absence of Krishna? Well, somebody who really loves someone, in their separation, you feel like dying, you can't live. This is the spirit of the Gopi song. So the spirit of Gopi Gita is they can't live without Krishna. They're practically on the brink of death. Every verse is spoken by a dying woman. Every verse of Gopi Gita is like the last exclamation of a dying woman who's dying in separation of her beloved. That's the extent of it. That's the spirit. They can't continue to live in the absence of Krishna. The gopis are telling Krishna, we don't care about maintaining our lives, but singing about you keeps us alive anyway. Because your katha is the nectar of immortality. The katha of you consists of feeling the essence of absolute. The katha about you is rasa itself. Like when we see how you were tasting rasa. Then he speaks in general in the commentary. When we bring songs about Krishna into our life, we get life. That's a pretty interesting phrase. When we sing about Krishna, when we sing songs of Krishna, about the life of Krishna, we get life. When we sing about Krishna, if we use our lives to sing about Krishna, we get more life. Outside of spiritual culture, our quote-unquote lives are this maintaining a dead body. For the self is actually alive, not the body. If the self dies, it occurs not with the death of the body, but when the self identifies itself with the body. When the self identifies with the body, the self is dead. So I think I am Italian, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm Russian. You were as good as dead. The self is full, the body is empty. When we identify ourselves with the body, we feel incomplete and our existence threatened. We try to make our body enduring and eternal and beautiful only because we are that in our pure state. We are eternal and beautiful. So it's our nature to be eternal, because Atma is eternal and beautiful. And the Guru reveals our beautiful form in the spiritual world. But we're trying, but we don't know that, we're not in touch with that. So we try to make our physical body eternal by taking all kinds of vitamins and good food and all that kind of stuff. We try to make our body enduring and beautiful only because in our pure state, free from bodily and mental identification, that's our situation. So he's defining death of the Atma as bodily identification. So the verse about life, tava-katam-ritam, tava-jivanam, the katha is life, so he's giving a nice commentary on the verse. If death of the self is bodily identification, the life of the self begins with death of the body. Very clever phrase. The guy's very intelligent. Life of the self, life of the Atma,
begins with death of the body.
There's a great German philosopher who lived in the 19th century, 1890, 1920. I forget what was his name. But he said you have to die to live. You got it? Not Socrates. That was B.C. That was 2,500 years ago, Socrates. It was 19th century. Can't assist me right now. Hegel. H-E-G-E-L. Hegel was a great German philosopher in 1900. H-E-G-E-L. Hegel. He said you have to die to live. It means your material conceptions, which are not spiritual reality, you have to die if you want to live in spiritual truth. If you want to live in the reality of truth of the Atma itself, your material attachments, material conceptions of life. Life is meant to enjoy. I'm the center, I'm the enjoyer. Everything's for my pleasure. All these conceptions have to die. You have to live in the idea that I'm a servant of God. My life is meant to love God. You have to die to live. For the gopis, hearing and singing about Krishna is life of the soul and transcendence. And one is engaged in such life forgets to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So we have to follow these four golden principles, which means no sleeping, no eating, no mating, no fighting, which means spend all our time hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. He goes on with his commentary. He talks about Hare Kirtan, song about Krishna. Hare Kirtan is life for a suffering soul. Kirtan quenches, gives us nectar. It frees us from karma. It is rasa itself. The gopis are alive by singing about Krishna. They maintain their lives by singing about Krishna. So now you can read Vishnu's commentary on verse number 9. I'm going to take a sip of water. Go ahead, read out loud.
The gopi said, "Who can describe the sweetness of the words coming from your mouth? It is indescribable. Even words glorifying your name and form coming from the mouths of other people are also more relishable than celestial nectar or liberation. This is the import of this verse." Gopi said, "Discussion about you deliver the highest nectar." Krishna asked, "What kind of nectar?" Gopi said, "Topics about you give life to those who are tormented by the cycle of birth and death, terrible diseases and other causes of suffering. They give life to those who are suffering in separation from you. Thus, Harikatha is better than both the nectar of heaven and the nectar of liberation. This is confirmed by great devotees like Prahlada and Dhruva, who said, 'Ya nivrittis tanvritam tavapada padman dhyanat bhavajanakatha shravanena vasyat sa brahmanisva mahimani abhinatama bhut.' My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet or hearing about your glories from pure devotees is so unlimited that it is far beyond the stage of Brahmananda. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, then what to speak of the temporary joy of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separating sword of time, although one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course of time. The nectar of your topics destroy the effects of all stages of sin, aprarabdha, bhuta, bija and prarabdha. The nectar of Svarga does not destroy sins, but rather it increases lusty desires, which is the cause for sin. Even the nectar of liberation does not destroy prarabdha karma, though it destroys aprarabdha, bhuta and bija. The nectar of hearing about you is most auspicious, because just by hearing one becomes attracted to you and attains the ultimate goal of life. This is not so with the nectar of Svarga or Moksha. The nectar of your topics, being constantly broadcast by your devotees, bestows all wealth up to Prema. The other two nectars cannot do this. Those who glorify you in Kirtana are bestowing the greatest treasure. Though one may give that person everything he wants, he can never repay. Another meaning of the verse, songs about your name, form and pastimes are sweet if they are accompanied by the sight of you. Otherwise, they create very undesirable consequences and become a cause of death. Krishna asked, "How is that?" Gopi said, "By hearing those descriptions, one's life becomes full of pain in separation. Another meaning of jivana is water. By those descriptions, we become scalded by water, sprinkled on hot
scalded.
Oil. Scalded by colored like water, sprinkled on hot oil." Krishna asked, "But then why are these topics praised in the Puranas and other scriptures?" Gopi said, "Only poets like Vyasa praise you and no one else, because that is the natural habit of poets. Hearing about you subjects one to the burning pain of separation. By this suffering, one burns up his previous sins. It is auspicious for ordinary people to listen to these topics. And thus the narrations about you do not stop. If the people concerned are intelligent, however, they will see that hearing about you bring suffering, and then they will refuse to listen. Then the narrations will cease. Topics about you are disseminated by evil men who, blinded by the intoxication of their wealth, hope that everyone will die by hearing about you. To accomplish this, they spend money lavishly by going from country to country and village to village, hiring pandits to narrate the Puranas. Therefore, those pandits who sang your glories in this world caused the death of many people. Thus, while spreading the trap of these topics and sitting peacefully as if they were gentle souls, these pandits are actually committing genocide. For this reason, intelligent persons avoid these pandits, keeping them at a further distance than even a contagious disease.
What famous personality does this verse number 9 remind you of?
He says, don't ever see Radha Govind, don't go to Yamuna.
No. Right?
From Kalyana.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he said Rupa Goswami, I said no. What famous verse does this verse remind you of? Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Sasena. In Krishna book, Prabhupada said, the Lord Chaitanya was the most munificent incarnation because he distributed the words of Krishna and love of Krishna free of charge all over the world. So this verse, it says the greatest Burija, the greatest personalities are those who preach the message of Krishna and give love of God. So who preached more than Lord Chaitanya or gave love of God more than Lord Chaitanya? So Prabhupada is giving credit to Lord Chaitanya. But that was 535 years ago. But if we want to give more modern time, let's say Prabhupada himself. Prabhupada himself spread the message of Krishna all around the world and spread love of God all around the world. So most people around the world have some connection with Prabhupada, either through a temple, through a festival, through some Mahaprasad, through a devotee, through a kirtan, through a book, through a movie, through a YouTube movie. Somehow everyone has some touch with ISKCON, which means Prabhupada. So the great Bhuri Dajana, the great welfare worker, distributing the words of Krishna, the love of Krishna, in the modern age is undeniably Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So many of us are living by the mercy of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's ISKCON. My lunch is connected to ISKCON. It's like a great mafia. You can't escape the mafia. So you can't escape ISKCON. It's transcendental mafia. One way or another, you have to fold your hands and come to ISKCON. Food for life, or free meal, or visa, or this or that. Okay, right. Okay, right. Is it that? Is it that? Switch it on there. Oh, it has a battery. Yeah, the shock of this thing.
Yeah,
no. It's working? Radhe Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So verse number 10. Chapter 31, Gopi Gita. There's 19 verses, I think. So we have to keep going here. As we go with Gita, we do Ramar Gita. Prasitam Priya Prema Vikshanam Viharanam Chate Jana Mangalam Rasi Samvido Yaridi Srisha Kuga no mana shobayanti.
Rahasitam priya prema vikshanam viharanam chate dhyana mangalam. Rahasi sambhito yahridi sprusha kuhaka no mana shobayanti.
Prahasita means big smiling. Priya means affectionate, with love, vikshanam, glances, smiling and looking with love. Gopis are speaking, remembering Krishna. It's not good, because as they meditate on Krishna's intimacy and sweetness, they're getting disturbed. Vihar means pastimes, intimate pastimes. Vikshana means glances, brain-filled glances, affectionate laughing. Dhyana Mangalam, meditating on these things is all auspicious. Rasi Samvad means talk. Ramananda Samvad, the talk of Ramananda was Lord Chaitanya. Samvad, Sam means complete. Together, and Vad means speech, Vak, Vad, speech. Rahasi means secret, Rahasi, Rahasi Samvad. We had secret talks that touched our hearts. Srisha means touch, Riddhi means heart. And we were in private Akunja, we had love talks. Suratakatamritam, you had that book by Vishnath Chakravarti, with five pastimes, five francs, the Surat Akadamrita is there. Very intimate talk there. Rasi Samvado, really smart Srisha. So they're saying all these things, but then they're, so that's very sweet what the gopis are saying. Then they turn the tables and change their attitude and call them a cheater. Kuaka, you Kuaka, you dirty cheater. Shobayanti Mana, you excite us then. And then, no show, flop show. You get us excited and then close the curtain. Unplug the TV, change the channel, play cartoons. So what's the translation? Read it.
Your smiles, your sweet loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks We enjoyed with you. All these are auspicious to meet you upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, O deceiver, they very much agitate our minds.
Prabhupada's translation. The Gopi said, "Dear Krishna, you are very cunning." Kuka means cunning. Kuka means cunning. Kuka cunning. C-U-N-N-I-N-G-K-U-H-A, Kuka. You can imagine how much we are distressed simply by remembering your cunning smile, your pleasing glance, your walking with us in the forest of Vrindavan, and your auspicious meditations, your talks with us in lonely places. We're heartwarming. Now we are grieved to remember your behavior. Let's read the Gita Press translation. See how Rasika is. Oh, it's very cute. Your hearty laugh, oh darling. Oh darling. Your loving glances and pastimes, which are happy to contemplate on, and your covert jests uttered in secret that went deep into our heart, really agitate our mind now that you are away from us, oh deceitful lover. Wow, they lay it on him, boy. You cook a deceitful lover. It's a little heavy to be somebody tell you that. Good luck, Krishna. Krishna says, you criticize me, but yet you enjoy. If I was such a person, then how can you enjoy me? Like what we said, verse 10, Kavi Karnapur. Krishna, your pastimes and speech are nectarine on the outside, but sharper than the sharpest razor within. Those who love you know this very well, though they know they have fallen under the influence of your words. At first, your pastimes give happiness, but finally they produce sorrow. Now we understand, O best of men, your sweet loving glances, intimate pastimes, the confidential talks we enjoy with you, touched our hearts, but at the same time, you have brought us misery. O deceiver, you are devoid of love, yet we are filled with love. We have become heartbroken by your neglectful treatment. You don't have even, you don't have even a drop of love for us gopis, who are saturated with love for you. If you had any love, then you could understand how we're suffering. Typical man-woman relationship. Because of you, he's going, yeah. That's true. The women are always so full of love and dedication. The men are so dull and insensitive, they don't perceive it. Goes on and on and on. She has so much commentary. Swami Charan, Sridhar Swami Charan, verse number 9. Furthermore, Krishna, we have died because of separation from you. And we have been cheated of the life-giving nectar. Excuse me, kids. Watch out, I get a shock. Be careful. Don't touch the bottom part. Does it work? Okay. 10. But then you should be overjoyed simply by hearing topics about me. Then why do you want to see me? Chris is so cruel. Just stay out of bed and just talk about me forever. You find so much happy, so much nectar there, so much mangalam. So why do you need to see me? No, our mind, the Gopis said, our minds have become agitated by your sporting. Even hearing topics about you, we can't find any peace. Oh dear one, oh deceiver. Kulaka means kapat. Samvida means joking words in secret encounters. Joking words in secret encounters. Wait a minute. Don't have any secret encounters. No joking words. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The first meaning of the verse, Krishna is saying, oh intelligent gopis, why are you so attracted to me who is hard to attain? If you have that attraction, then be content with hearing about me. The gopis are overcome with Purva Rag, and these three verses, 10, 11, and 12, they're finding fault with Krishna's action. That's one meaning. The second meaning of the verse is as follows. The gopis are saying, we cannot live for a long time on hope alone. On seeing the gopis, Krishna smiles out of eager emotion. He glanced at them with love. By thinking of that, desire for meeting becomes strong since Krishna's actions are revealing his emotions. Then Krishna goes far off alone and jokes, playing his flute. Everything has... Wait a second. Okay. Jiva Goswami goes on. The gopis say, oh cheater, oh kulaka. That's there in verse number 10. The gopis say this out of suffering. Krishna is the greatest among all deceivers. This brings pain to our minds. The reason for the pain is stated. Why is Krishna cause pain? Because first he entices the gopis by playing his flute. But our minds are filled with sorrow because we became attracted to you and later on you cheated us. With that in mind they say, oh cheater. Wow. They finally said something true. They're saying you're so sweet, this and that. Your speech is so sweet. Now they're getting to the truth. You're a cheater. Oh, Kulaka, you're a deceiver, you're a cheater. So now they're finally getting to the point. So let's see, I don't know if I read this one. Oh lover, your cheerful laughter, sweet glances, and captivating movements are all auspicious for meditation, yet they disturb our minds. In this verse, the Gopi suggests that Krishna's form is the perfect object of meditation. Has anyone ever read Art of Shining? There's a section in there about Rupa meditation. I quote from a book called Rupa Chintamani by Vishwanatha Chakravarti. He talks about meditating on Krishna's form and Radharani's form. How does he say? How does he start the meditation? What does he say there? I can't hear you.
He wants us to begin meditation with a sweet face, smiling face of Radharani.
Yeah, that's the thing. Thank you. That's great, Govind. Are you getting in the movie? Yeah, okay. Everybody's a performer here. There's a little performer there. One performer here, one there, one there. There's three acts going on here. It's a three-ring circus. And generally, when Shastras talk about meditation, they say to begin to meditate on the feet of Vishnu. Meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. By Vishnu, when he describes meditation, he says, start with a smiling face. So that's what we're reading here. And I was reading Jiva Goswami's commentary. Where was I? I kind of got lost here where I was reading. Yeah, I was reading this one. Yeah. I got lost. Sorry, books. Yeah, thank you. So they're suggesting the ideal meditation, because this verse doesn't talk about meditating on the feet. It talks about what? The face. The smiles, the sweet loving glances. Jesus, ideal object of meditation. Krishna's form is the ideal object of meditation. Anyone disagree? No. Okay. The reason for this is it's easier to fix one's mind upon the beautiful person of Krishna than other objects. The purpose of meditation is to quiet the movement of the mind. If Krishna is the object of one's meditation, however, the mind can move as it is accustomed, from his lotus feet to his charming smile, or from his sweet words to his lila, and so on. Yet while moving thus to meditation upon Krishna's form, the mind remains still and undisturbed. This is a very important point that I remind you, which I said before. Well, I remind you, whenever you study philosophy or leelas in Gaudiya Vaishnava context, you should always remember the principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously one and different. So meditation, when you talk about that, when you talk about Patanjali Yoga Sutra, talks about nine steps of meditation, asana, and yama, niyama, dharana, dhyana, etc., pratyahara, dhruvana, sriti, and samadhi. It defines meditation as fixing the mind at one point and not letting the mind move. It's called, it defines yoga as chitta vritti nirodha. Chitta vritti nirodha. If the mind doesn't fluctuate, the mind doesn't move anywhere. So that's one meaning. So that's the meaning of meditation. But it's simultaneously, this to me, and simultaneously it's different meaning. So meaning in bhakti is the mind moves. So our dhyan, the yoga dhyan, the one meaning of the meaning of the yoga, the simultaneous one and different. Yes, we agree, the mind is fixed. In one place, it doesn't move, doesn't wander. There's no vritti, no fluctuation, no movement. But in bhakti meditation, the mind moves from Krishna's feet to his knees, to his ankles, to his face, to his head. So our bhakti dhyan is different than yoga dhyan. So our mind can move in bhakti, but and that's perfect samadhi, but the mind is moving. But samadhi and yoga sutras is called sampragyata. Sampragyata and sampragyata samadhi, which means the mind is not moving. But in bhakti, the mind can move. So this is a nice point that he made. Yogis receive your ideal meditation. Think of Krishna's pastimes. One by one, that's ideal absorption of the mind. Because the mind's tendency is to move, to wander. So that I wander. Because like if we're not meditating on Krishna's form, we're meditating on other forms of this world. That's why the cell phone is full of what? People. It's full of men and women to attract our mind to the form of man and woman. Handsome men, handsome women, beautiful women. So our mind will want, oh, look at her face, look at her this, that, the other thing. And then you get taken away from Krishna. Your mind wanders that way. Or the woman looks at the man and this or that. So we're supposed to meditate on Rupa Madhurya of Krishna, Rupa Madhurya Radharani. And what to speak of our own Rupa Madhurya, Sra Madhurya. My own, Swami means my own Madhurya. Swami Madhurya Rupa. My own spiritual, divine spiritual body. This is the ideal object of meditation. Guru Sakhi, my form, etc. Let's see what this commentary is here. The word in this verse 10 says, Viharanam Chate Jana Mangalam. It's very auspicious to meditate on your pastimes, intimate pastimes. Viharanam means pastimes. But his commentary says, Viharanam is synonym for samprayog. Samprayog means loving intimacy, loving connection. Samprayog means union, as in man-woman union. Means attachment, conjunction, joining together. So they're saying it's very auspicious to meditate on the divine union with Krishna. So this is a very intimate verse, number 10. So this is, in other words, this is the epitome of absorption in the material world. People are meditating on each other's form with the hopes of ending up with some priyoga viharanam. So gopis are saying, this, but that's that dhyanam is a mangal dhyanam. It's inauspicious, because it gives you repeated birth and death, keeps you in a bodily concept of life. But you meditate on Krishna's divine pastime with the gopis. You meditate in Krishna's form, divine form, you get liberated from the material world. The same object, meditate on men and women, and meditate on men and women union, but Krishna and Radharani and Gopis and their union, you get liberated. You meditate on man and woman in this material world, and union of man and woman in this material world, and possibility for that, and contemplating that, you stay in samsara. Same thing liberates you and same thing binds you. So a thorn in your foot, you can't walk. Well, another thorn takes out the thorn and enables you to walk. So one thorn stops your walking, one thorn starts your walking. So a very interesting idea. So that's what the Gopis' Leela with Krishna is all about. It is when it's one of the commentary, what did he call Rasleela? He called it Kamvijaya Leela. Do you know that? One commentator talking about Rasleela called Kamvijaya, victory over lust. Because the Gopis' relationship with Krishna and Rasleela, it looks like external, like calm. Dancing, kissing, romancing, everything you're doing, A to Z. But that calm is the highest form of praying because it's totally selfless and self-forgetful. So the one Acharya says, Kam Vijay Lila. By studying this Lila, by serving in this Lila, by meditating in this Lila, we can conquer over lust. You conquer over lust, you conquer over anger and envy, everything goes. So Rasleela is called Kam Vijaya Leela. What is that verse in 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39? Vikritam Vrajavadu Virsa. You have the book right there, look it up. 10:33:39. 33rd chapter, 39th verse.
77
please. Vidrogam kamam. What does rogi mean?
This is present.
There's three, I'll give you three choices, A, B, or C. Do you want to be a yogi, a rogi, or a bogi? Or all three. Because you're eating, you're a bogi. Because you're sleeping, you're a rogi. Because you're... Because to exercise, you're a yogi. Because to eat, you're a bogey. Because to sleep, you're a rogi. And when you're sick, you sleep a lot. So people sleep a lot of rogies. Ridrogam, what is the disease of the heart?
Kamam,
Ridrogam. What is the medicine? Rasleela, Kam Vijay, Kam Vijay Lila, Ki Jai. Okay. Did you read Vishnu's commentary on 10? Okay, read it.
The Gopi said, when we do not see you, then anything that is related to you becomes a source of suffering for us. Even though we want to forget you because you give us sorrow, we cannot because you have touched our hearts with your sweet smile and love-filled glances, your intimate exchanges and all your joking conversations. It is a fact that meditation gives highest bliss, but thinking of these four things, your smile, glances, exchanges and conversations, agitates our minds. As soon as these enter our minds, they immediately give pleasure, but then a moment later, they give the most intense sorrow. Therefore, you are the greatest cheater. When the rogue feeds you poison cakes, at first they seem tasty, but after some time, they give intense pain and then kill you.
Wow. That's it, huh? Okay. That's it for today, class. Next Saturday, we'll have class on verse number 11. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Does anybody have a pen? Pen?
Okay. Okay.
What's the day today? 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80. 80.